It's the TEH Podcast, episode number 237, with Leo Notenboom of AskLeo.com and Gary Rosenzweig of MacMost.com. This week, Misinformation Madness, Debunking Viral Tech Myths, from TikTok to iPhones.
Hey, Gary, how's it going?
Good. How are you, Leo?
Doing okay.
Yeah.
You know, it's the pre-Christmas, I want to say doldrums. There's just not a whole lot going on here other than, you know, it's raining. We're looking at another wet Christmas. So
yeah. Be it. Indeed. Well, there is actually, there's a lot going on kind of in the Apple world because of, you know, how Apple did things this year. It's, you know, with all the new OSs that came out, usually they come out in September or early October, and then that's it. You know, you get these minor updates. But because of all the Apple intelligence stuff, and there was just no way they could deliver all of it in one big lump there in September, that meant that the iOS 18 versions and the macOS 15 versions, the 0.1 and the 0.2 included lots of updates, lots of new features and things like that. So it's been like this super cycle. Really,
definitely like, not boring. Yeah.
Like every 4 weeks, like all new things to talk about. Like it's a very different kind of thing. And we did, in fact, get since we last did a show, the new versions, the 0.2 versions of those operating systems, which included actually quite a bit of new AI features in those operating systems, and a lot of those revolve around image generation. On the Mac, there's a whole new app called Image Playground, which is basically like an image generator. You just type in a prompt of what you want, and it creates an image. But it's done the Apple way, where there are suggestions. You can it'll suggest things, and you can click on it, like a forest or volcano or something like that. It also is linked deeply into your photo collection. So what it does is it really encourages you to select the subject. And since the Photos app already knows, like, there's you and there's your spouse and there's your kids and all that stuff, it'll like allow you to pick one of those. And so you can get a subject and then make them look like a wizard or a lion tamer or, you know, whatever you want to do.
Oh, so you can say things like, create me a picture of Gary as a wizard.
Exactly.
Wow.
And you can keep adding bits to it. It's very easy for anybody to use, which, you know, really, I mean, it's come a long way. I mean, 2 years ago, right, we were still going to Discord and entering in prompts through Discord to get Midjourney. Yes. Like, you know, it was this whole secret thing. It was like, oh, you know, normal people can't figure that out. And now we're to the point where there's this fun little app, you know, that's not just on your Mac, but on your iPhone and your iPad. To allow you to create these images. They are pretty sanitized images. You know, it's not going to let you create something naughty or even something like with a gun in it or something like that.
Right.
It's you know, trying to be playful and fun. There are only two styles. You know, we compare that to like something like Adobe's thing, Firefly, where there's like tons of list of styles you can choose from. Right. And this is, you can just do cartoon or illustration. That's it. Two different styles.
So no photorealistic.
No photorealistic. So Apple's avoiding the whole like, oh, you can make people look like they're doing things they're not doing, you know, by just saying this is always going to look cartoony, right? This is just a fun thing to do, and you know, that actually kind of leads a lot of people to hating the feature, but I think the people that are hating the feature a lot are the like professionals. People that, it's like, why are you even using this? You probably already use like Midjourney or DALL-E or, you know, Adobe or something to generate images. This isn't for you. This is not your image generator. You've got yours. It makes very goofy, funny images, you know, of things. Very light, very Pixar-ish kind of look to it. I've been surprised at the reaction. Maybe I shouldn't have been surprised at the reaction, where there's, you know, some people saying this is neat and other people just pouring hate onto it. And it's just like, yeah, you're not going to, the thing you want is something Apple's not going to make, you know, to make, be able to make anything you want, you know, do you have those image generation AI things, but this is not what this is. This is like for everybody else. And you can use it. I actually have a video where I talk about like different uses for it. You know, you can use it for work, you know, but it depends on what you want. Like if you're making a keynote presentation and you just think, oh, I should have a picture on the slide of something, you can use this to make that picture without ever, you know, having to go to one of these other image generation apps. Matter of fact, one thing that makes this unique is it's done on your device. So this is not calling out to the internet, which makes it different than a lot of the others. So yeah, you can generate things for presentations, you know, just do fun stuff, make icons, you know, for your, you know, avatars for social media or for, you know, whatever. Stuff like that is what it's really good at and what it kind of is made for. But yeah, you're always going to get the people that want like super serious use. The same people that will complain that Numbers looks too pretty and it should look more professional, like Excel or something like that. You know, it's just not made for those people.
That's funny.
Yeah, it, so and there's actually so there are several different variations on it. So there's the Image Playground is a full app that's available Mac, iPhone, and iPad. But in addition to being a full app, you can access it in other apps. So for instance, if you're in Messages and you want to, you know, send somebody a message and you think it would be fun to attach a funny picture of them, you're like, hey, yeah, we're going to have fun going out tonight. And then you can go into Image Playground and you could get a picture of them, make them into a cartoon with a party hat on and, you know, like in a bar or something. And then you could send them that picture, right? But you could also, in Messages, you could hit the little, like, you know, attach button. And then one of the options, like in addition to attaching a file or a photo, is like Image Playground. And then Image Playground comes up in a little interface in Messages. And you could do all that without ever having to go to the app.
Oh, interesting.
So yeah, so they're using it. It's like a system-wide thing you can get to. But in addition to that, there's also in the Notes app, only on the iPhone and iPad, where you have a touch screen, there's another variation called Image Wand. And Image Wand first makes you draw something with either your finger on an iPhone or perhaps the Apple Pencil on an iPad. So you can draw a sketch of something, and then you can take this wand tool, which is like right next to like there's pen, marker, eraser, you know, the usual stuff, and then wand, and you could circle the thing that you want it to focus on, and then it will generate an AI image from that. So you could draw like a snowman, and then use Image Wand, and your sketch of a snowman will turn into a full cartoon, like high resolution snowman.
Wow.
And then you can add additional things. So you could say, oh, you know, like forest, and suddenly there are trees around the snowman, or, you know, something like that. So Image Wand is another really interesting tool that you could use. Unfortunately, not on the Mac, because you don't really have the drawing tools there on the Mac. You only have those on the iPhone and iPad. And then a third variation is something called Genmoji. And whenever you involve emoji, you always get a certain element online that will, you know, cry that they're useless. Why is Apple or Microsoft or anybody wasting time on emoji? Who uses these things, et cetera, et cetera. So this is a new feature where you can create your own emoji characters. And it's similar to Image Playground in that you can start with a person, like, oh, you know, myself or my spouse or something. And then you can, you know, add things to it, like an expression or whatever. And it will generate an emoji-looking version of, say, yourself, you know, doing whatever it is, you know, holding, you know, a thumbs up or whatever, you know. And you could also just pick from, like, oh, I just want a masculine character, you know, and then it will generate random ones. So you can just keep flipping through, and there'll be like all these random just characters that just will generate forever. And you could say you want them, you know, doing what, holding a cup of tea, you know, whatever, and it'll generate emoji. But you could also generate objects. You know, you could say, you know, a tree, and then get a different tree than the one emoji tree that everybody uses, that kind of thing. And basically, the technology there is similar, except no background, because it's an emoji, so it's kind of this object without a background. And then it's combined with a kind of an inline text thing where obviously the emoji isn't something somebody has on their computer. So when you send it to them, what happens is it's basically doing inline images in the text. So not inline text,
Interesting.
inline images. So yeah, imagine that, it's got the encoded bits
Sure.
for the image in there. And yeah, it has to be a fairly an app that's fairly robust enough to be able to handle that, which
I was going to
Apple
say
updated its stuff.
most of the messaging apps that I'm familiar with, be it,
Yeah.
Facebook, WhatsApp, etc., they don't.
No, they're not going to be
You're
able to do, at
limited to
least
the
not now.
Unicode emojis, yeah.
Yeah, at least not now. But I think, this might push them all into doing that.
Right.
Apple, of course, updated its stuff. And
Of
then
course.
if you're texting with somebody who doesn't have that, it's going to default to basically just being an image. Like there's the image as opposed to it being an inline
Right. Yeah, there's
character.
just an image
They
with
still
it. It's,
get it. Yeah.
okay.
So it's kind of neat because certainly I've run into situations where I'm frustrated that there doesn't seem to be an emoji character for this thing I want to express or whatever, which is incredible considering there are so many.
Right.
And now I can just generate those. Matter of fact, I've even I do a kind of a newsletter for the building I live in, and when I list events that are coming up, I've been using emoji characters next to the event. Like if it's an event at a bar, I might have a beer mug
Right.
emoji next to it. As like instead of bullets, I've got a beer mug emoji or like a music emoji or a picture or artist emoji. Well, there's several times I've run into situations where I can't find a good emoji to represent that situation. But now I can use this and I can do it. And since it's a printed piece of paper, it doesn't matter for
Right.
compatibility.
Exactly.
I could just put this in to my Pages document, which will use it as an inline image, and then print it out. And it saves me from having to go to a clip art site and find something that's close. But again, you get people that are like, why, more emoji? Great, that's just what we want. Meanwhile, they haven't fixed my insert favorite bug here, kind of thing.
Yes.
And it does make it, I don't know, it makes me. I just wish people could see it as like, if it's not for you, it's not for you. That's fine. Like a standard response I've got that I use a lot when somebody complains about something, saying that this is useless or there are no good new features in this update, is I say, I'm sure that there's a feature that you use all the time that other people don't use at all. What does the same apply? Is that useless because they don't use it? Certainly not, because you use it. So consider that the opposite has to be true as well with all the
Funny.
emoji and these image generation things and all of that.
I was just reviewing an article that I wrote some time ago. I can't think of the name real quick, but in it, I definitely talked about the I don't even know what you want to call it, but it's a there's a known fallacy that basically says if it's happening to me, it's
Yeah.
happening to everybody. And
Yes.
that just is not the case. Be it something bad or something you like or something that isn't working on your computer. The way
Yes.
you and I probably get this all the time.
Oh,
Somebody will
yeah.
have a bug or something will fail on their machine, and oh my God, it's the worst thing ever, except it's happening only to them and maybe one other person in the on the entire planet. So.
Yeah, I see it a lot when people just say, well, I guess I'm going to have to wait. I've been waiting a while for Apple to fix this problem, like in an update. And
Right.
I'm like, guess what? Nobody else is having that problem.
Right.
It's got to be something to do with what you're doing, how you're doing it, an extension you have, something, maybe that one file. Have you tried it on another file? That
It
kind of
may not
thing.
even be them. That's the thing. It may actually be a legitimate problem. But the problem, of course, is that it's being experienced by so few people
Yes.
that A, it's not making it on the radar, B, it's not rising to the priority level. And what I think a lot of people don't quite understand is that fixing a bug introduces risk,
Yes.
sometimes lots of risk. So it's a case where they really have to make a decision about, do I fix this one bug for a handful of people and risk putting in another bug that might affect a bunch of more people? Of course not. We'll live with it. So,
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, it's a big picture problem. People have, well, sometimes it's a big picture and sometimes it's a little picture problem. I mean, you have to see the big picture that there are all these people using the same, maybe the same hardware, but in a different way than you are. But also the little picture is don't assume that what you're seeing is typical and that it's happening to everybody, because it may not be. It may
Right.
be, but it may also not be. And in that case, the only way it's going to be fixed is for you to do something, which may actually be realizing there's three ways to do what you want. Stop doing it the way you're doing
Right.
it,
Choose
and
one.
doing it one of the two other ways.
Yep.
And there you go, problem solved. You never have to think about this again the rest of your life. But otherwise, you might just go for, well, I know people that have gone for years just assuming that something's broken, and I guess there's nothing I can do. But anyway, yeah, so exciting features, but I challenge people to get excited about them because they're fun. They're fun and they might be useful. I did get a few comments on the video where I said, here's 10 uses for Image Playground. For a few people said, oh yeah, reason number 8 didn't occur to me. Now I see, like, I might be able to use this. And
Right.
it's like, yeah, you can't just, I've seen people comment other places, like on Reddit and stuff. It's like, I played with this for 5 minutes and deleted it. It's like, 5 minutes? Wow. I
Yeah.
mean, you did not consider all the possibilities if all you did was play with it for 5 minutes. So I'm glad you're so sure that you'll never use this. And of course, these are the people that will be asking, like, in 6 months, it's like, how do I deleted this off my computer. How can I get it now that I realize it does something I
What I
want?
appreciate is that they said they only spent 5 minutes on it, which means I can completely disregard their opinion.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
Yeah.
what else is going on next
Well,
month?
I think, the biggest thing that's being talked about in the tech world right now, if in general, is the TikTok ban, right? The looming TikTok ban.
Right.
We've got what pushed this forward was, there was always this January 19th deadline, but it was in some high-level court, and people, I guess, just assumed, they'll probably knock it back another, 6 months, or they'll rule it out. And no, the court said it can stand.
Right.
January 19th, it's dead, right? And so it's interesting, if you do are on TikTok, you get lots of people talking about it. A lot of creators I see are really pushing their, like, by the way, you could
Yeah.
find me at YouTube.
Just in case.
You
Yeah.
may want to subscribe to me at YouTube now, right? There's that. There's also a lot of people talking about like what you could do to, all this stuff. It's interesting because one of the things I have not been able to figure out
Right.
for sure
Right.
is what will happen on
Exactly.
January 19th. Because one, the lowest level of it is that the app is removed from the two big app stores, from
Right.
the Apple one and the Google Play Store. That I can definitely see is happening because numerous reports have said that the U.S. government has told both those companies that
Right.
they need to do this. In the
And
past,
that could be it. That
that
could be
could be
all
it.
that
And
happens. Yep.
yeah, in the past, we've had apps that the government has said had to be removed, but they never went to the trouble of telling the companies. They just issued, like, legal, like, here's what it is, it's banned or whatever.
Right.
And it's been up to the companies to basically try to interpret that. Like, what do we do? What do we need to do on that date and all this? Here they've said, yeah, you don't need to figure that out. We're telling you it has to be out of your stores. Now, if that's the case, if that's all that happens for the vast majority of people using TikTok, nothing's going to happen on January
Exactly.
19th. You already have the app.
Right.
New people won't be able to get the app. And of course, the app won't update. If you go with the theory that the ban will be temporary as administrations change, then really nothing's going to happen. The ban will be a big nothing. It'll be like 1 or 2 days, maybe a week, where you can't get it. They may have a bug fix that they want to push out, but they have to delay it by a couple of days. But otherwise, it won't be a big deal. However, there are other reports that say that's not true at all, that the app will actually just stop working on the
Right.
19th. And there's one big thing that verifies that, and that is the fact that TikTok itself, in appealing to the Supreme Court, has said that they need an answer by, I think it's like January 7th or something, because if they need to start, like blocking the United States, that they
Interesting.
need to start actually, like, shutting down services, doing putting things in line for that, like more than a week in advance. Now, that makes me think, oh, they really are going to, like, on January 19th, like, you go to your TikTok app and there's a message there that says, sorry, unable to contact server, or we are down while things are worked out, that kind of thing.
Right.
But we don't know, and there's still a chance that there is an easy, like the current administration can actually say, hey, let's push this back 90 days. And there also is the thing of like what happens when the new administration comes in, because there's mixed signals there too. There's been definitely a statement saying that the ban would be reversed, and there's definitely been a, well, we don't know. So we've getting completely mixed signals over
There's
what.
actually one more scenario that I ran into just yesterday. Somebody was claiming that unless you turn off a feature on your Android phone, which is basically a feature that removes harmful apps, that feature will be instructed to literally remove TikTok from your device.
Interesting.
They were advocating turning that off, which of course lowers everybody's security because now all of a sudden, known bad apps could potentially get installed. But I that made me wonder exactly what's really going to happen here. And as we said, the ex from one extreme to another, it could be nothing. It could be the network stops working, right? And it could be that the app is actually prevented from even firing up anymore.
Yeah, it's a lot of confusion, which TikTok probably likes, because if we were sure what was going to happen, then you would have all these articles out there starting about now saying, here's what you need to do to move to YouTube Shorts or Instagram Reels or whatever. But because there's confusion about it, the people that post those kinds of articles and things haven't really said much yet, because they don't know what's going to happen. It's a very interesting situation. And even if they do that thing like you were saying, because Apple's got that too, they have a kill switch for harmful apps. Even if they do that and you switch that off, well, what's TikTok going to be? Because 99% are not going to do that. They're not going to know to do that. They're not going to read that article or whatever. So all of a sudden, if you're a creator and you're used to getting 100,000 views on your latest video, now you're going to get like 75 views. And if you're somebody who wants to like watch, you're going to notice that there's nothing new, it's a weird situation where we don't know what's going to happen.
I do
And
think
it's,
the creators are correct in the sense that they need to be preparing their own plan B. There's just too much risk. My biggest concern for most of the creators, the ones that, there are creators I care about that I know are making money on TikTok, and it takes a while to get there. And it really takes a while to get there on other platforms. So they're basically having to reset their financial expectations as well.
They don't know. They don't know if, I mean, the range of things could be this has no impact because it's delayed and then the ban is reversed, or it has complete total impact because it's shut down and they aren't able to get traction anytime soon on any of the other platforms. It's probably super scary for them. Certainly something creators on all, it's not like YouTube creators don't go through that all the time. And creators on Instagram as well. They have
Every
problems.
algorithm change is kind of
Every
scary.
algorithms change. People get banned, shut down for confusing, odd reasons. Not just that, but even places like Etsy, eBay. I mean, people that have built businesses on these platforms, and there are so many various ways to get shut down for lots of reasons, and sometimes completely wrong, like you didn't do anything wrong, and you get shut down. And it's tough. It's tough to build a business around somebody else's platform. So it's going to be, I don't know, we got this weird situation with the change of the administrations and how this is all working. And then, there's the whole other factor of the most people don't even understand why the ban is happening. Because
They
I'm
either
sure
don't understand or they don't agree with a line, right, with what's being t said.
Well, but there's a ton of people out there, based on comments, that think it's being done because it's like, oh, social media is bad for you. It's like
Oh,
the government is stepping in. It's, not this, oh, Chinese government ties to an app and all this stuff. And then there are people that get it. It's like, oh, okay, so it's okay for Facebook to know everything about you because they're not
they're
Chinese.
not Chinese, exactly.
But TikTok, who knows far less about you except basically what you like to watch, they're not allowed. So it's the kind of thing where it's like if you are up in arms about like, yeah, privacy. Let's not have this company have so much information about us. Consider the fact that this just shuts down one company, and it's definitely not the biggest threat in terms of privacy by far. It's just that there's a foreign government attached to that as a
What's
little
funny
like
is there's, I
link.
believe, the foreign government or even the same company has other apps, and those other apps are not being banned. So,
Yeah,
yeah,
definitely. Yeah, I
it's
know.
funny. One of the things I thought of as we were, as I was, preparing for this was the comment or the quote from, it's from Ghostbusters, actually. It's fairly lengthy. I've got it in the show notes, but it's basically, the dead rising from the grave, human sacrifice, dogs and cats living together, mass hysteria. And that's kind of sort of what it feels like. I mean, it's, on the 20th, which I think is a very interesting day just in and of itself, since that's inauguration day, there could be a lot of TikTokers running around with their hands in the air going, oh my gosh, mass hysteria. Or not.
Well, so interesting times ahead. We'll have to see if by our next show after the holidays here, if anything's changed or if the mass hysteria is building. And then, of course, there's tons of people that don't use TikTok at all, don't even know,
Don't
have
know,
no,
don't care.
never seen it, don't care. But yeah, I mean, there are, but that doesn't change the fact there are millions of people in the US that do. So, it's just because you don't use it directly doesn't mean it won't affect, kind of society in general. So we'll have to see what happens. Interesting stuff.
Let's flip into the next. I mean, the next one, the controversy or the conspiracy one that I added, because this is something that I think dovetails with some of the things we've been talking about already today. One of the reasons I threw this on our little agenda here is because I have reposted, updated, and reposted an article. Just, I think it was last week, about why does Google and Microsoft and a few other services, why do they require that you provide them with a phone number? And in fact, in most cases, that's not just a phone number. It has to be a phone number capable of receiving SMS text messages, which, that requirement basically annoys a lot of people and actually leaves a number of people out. Because they don't have a phone that's capable of text messaging, nor do they want one. So they're kind of sort of left out in the cold. But it's funny because one of the things that I have just noted in reviewing the comments, especially the comments on the YouTube video, is the amount of mistrust and conspiracy thinking that is out there. There are way more people than I actually would have expected who are absolutely convinced the reason these services are asking for a phone number is data harvesting and tracking. And that's the only reason. It has nothing to do with their purported statement about it being about account recovery, or anything like that. It's all about some evil plot in the back end to collect your data or track your motion or your movements. So there's a couple of things I find ironic about that is that they don't need your phone number to do that, right? They're all, especially if you're using one of their devices, an Android phone, for example, Google already knows pretty much everything about where you're at and what you're doing. But the other thing, and it dawned on me, there actually was another reason that phone numbers could be required, and that is to slow down the number of fake accounts being created. Because you can automate creating fake accounts with email addresses as recovery, but not so much with telephone numbers, because telephone numbers are a scarce resource and you need to be able to specify a unique one for each account. But like I said, it's just so frustrating to see this level of conspiracy thinking going on. And I gotta say, I just, I've been doing this now for 20 plus years. And I swear, if there were one thing that would cause me to just walk away from it all, it's just having to listen to, because I don't react, but I mean, I don't respond, but just having to read this kind of stuff over and over and over again, it really makes me kind of sad for the people that believe this. And honestly, I get that it's a societal problem. I mean, I'm not saying that Google and Microsoft and all these other companies are are all wonderful, wonderful players. They could be doing one hell of a lot more to establish trust with their customers. But the fact that these folks are just jumping to these wild extremes just really bothers me, and it really wears me down. And I'm sure you're seeing it too.
Yeah, I mean, like just this week, just as an example, there was there's a this thing where I guess on TikTok and other places, people are telling you to turn off AirDrop on your iPhone because it can be used to basically steal your credit cards, right? You've got your credit cards on your phone as part of Apple Pay, for instance, and the idea is what they're saying is, oh, you can some a bad actor can basically walk by you and then steal like all the credit cards. And the it's of course totally not true. That would be ridiculous that
Yes.
that information is even that AirDrop, where you can basically choose to say, here, I'm going to send you this photo, I'm going to send you this file, that could actually be used to act. First of all, it can't be used to pull anything from you, right? And second of all, the fact that your credit card information would somehow, there would be multiple walls up between all that. But yet, that persisted without any kind of like, oh, here's the, it's, oh, it's, it works like this. This is what's happening. It was just basically, oh, people can steal this from you. Here's what you need to do to turn off AirDrop. And it's just persistent, and
You get
people are
abused.
posting about it. People are not tech people. Like, these are, they're not like, oh, here I am, tech guru, 10 years, do this. Let me tell you how, why I need to turn those off. No, it's just normal people that are like, oh, I want to take a break from my latest recipe or cool thing that I found at the thrift store or whatever, and I want to tell you about how why you should turn this off. And it's kind of ridiculous, and it does create paranoia and all of this. And yeah,
It
and it's
kind of
disturbing.
goes back to the whole social media issue of clickbait and rage bait and so forth.
Yes.
Because the thing that happens to people that make these kind of claims, and we see it in other industries as well, is they get views. They get lots of views, no matter how
Yep,
wrong they are.
exactly. That's why they're there. Yeah. They don't
So
care if they're true or not.
one of the things that I said earlier that I don't engage or I don't respond. Honestly, a couple of times I do. It depends on my perception of the commenter, but sometimes I will respond by saying, I would love to see some proof.
Yeah.
And honestly, I would absolutely love to see, here's proof that this and this is happening. Here's proof that the credit cards are being stolen from your Apple phone using AirDrop. Here's how, like I said, here's how it's happening. But silence. As soon as you ask the question, they either come back with silence or just research it yourself. No. People who are making extraordinary claims are responsible for are responsible for producing this. And this is definitely an extraordinary claim.
Right,
So
exactly. Yes. Yeah, you cannot go and say, do your, do research. No, you have, if you're the one making the claim, then you need to
you can provide the
provide the
proof.
proof. And it goes in all sorts of different directions. Another, and sometimes I could see these things kind of almost getting born. And an example from this week is somebody posted somewhere, I think it was, might have been to Reddit, and about a feature on the iPhone where you could, it's a security feature, you can go in and you could set your iPhone to erase itself after 10 failed passcode attempts. So you try to enter in 10 in a row wrong, and the phone, if this is turned on, will just erase itself as a security measure. It doesn't completely to say, it doesn't brick the phone. You can get the phone back and you can restore it from your iCloud backup, for instance. It will, there'll be no data on the phone anymore. It'll be wiped. Now, seems like a good security feature. And I think the original poster was, in fact, saying you got to turn this on. But there was pushback. And the pushback was because somebody spotted, and not somebody, a lot of people spotted what they think is a big flaw in this. Can you guess what the flaw that they thought is like, why you should never turn this on? Any ideas?
I can only think of two.
Okay.
One, button press is in your pocket.
Yeah, that's kind
And
of right.
two, a quote unquote friend who gets their hands on your phone who does it on
Exactly.
purpose.
Exactly. Or a lot of people were saying a kid. Oh,
Sure.
my kid will get the handle on my phone, and just for fun, they'll just enter numbers in and lock out. Now, amazingly, or not amazingly, Apple's thought of this. And there's a very simple way to protect against that. After six of those 10 attempts, you're locked out for a minute. You can't do attempt seven for a minute.
Okay.
If you still do it wrong, attempt eight, I think, is, I forget if it's 5 or 10 or 15 minutes or whatever.
Excellent.
Attempt between attempts 9 and 10 is an hour.
Excellent.
Okay, perfect. Well executed, right? So the kid getting your hand on their phone,
That's
on your
not going to
phone,
happen.
yeah, it's not, or you know, whatever. It has to be out of your hands for more than an
Well
hour,
over an
almost
hour,
half, yeah, for somebody to do this. In which case, if somebody is trying to get into your phone and is that persistent and you don't have the phone anymore, you want it to be
Exactly.
erased. But despite the fact that people were saying, no, it actually works like this. There's these lockout times. The last one is an hour. So your kid getting hold of your phone is not a concern. Despite that, further down, somebody says, I can't do this because I have a kid. They might accidentally trigger this. And then somebody says, no, they can't because of this. Further down, a friend of mine may try to play a joke on me, and you know what, and it's just over and over and over again. And eventually, the overwhelming tide of people saying that a friend or a kid or in their pocket or whatever will lock them out just became too overwhelming. And the people that were saying, no, the Apple's thought of that, just stopped responding. And
You just can't take it
it's
anymore.
like, yeah, so now you could see. Like, I could see the next step probably has already happened. I don't monitor all social media, but there's probably already been several people that have posted, do not turn this feature on your iPhone. It
Sure.
will, because of this. And yeah, it's almost like the beginnings of one of these conspiracy theories, how information can be misinterpreted or ignored in order to and because you're not going to get as many. If you say, do not turn this feature on your iPhone, you may erase all your data, will get more clicks than a here's a handy security feature you should turn on your iPhone.
Right.
So yeah,
Right. Yep.
so why do the one that'll get you the more interaction?
Yep,
Yeah.
absolutely. It's unfortunate that that's the way that it's happening, but that's the way that it's happening.
Yep. So I did have one more thing I wanted to talk about, which would take us away from all of this social media,
Yay.
AI,
Yay.
security stuff completely, because tech is more than just that. It's this cool little article I saw in our local newspaper here in Colorado about a really cool power supply thing. The idea is that to supply power to an area like a town or even a city, to instead of having a power plant that's burning coal or natural gas or nuclear or whatever, or having a solar farm, which is not in the city because there's not room for it, and it has these power transmission lines that have to go from the solar farm into the city, this one company thinks it may actually work out if there's solar farms out in the country, and those solar farms charge up huge batteries, train car sized batteries. And then once the batteries are charged up, the train then takes them into town where the batteries are hooked up at a power station.
Interesting.
And then the batteries are drained into the grid. The idea is that, yeah, it would be nice to actually have a solar farm out in the country and have power lines coming in, but it's not always possible. Especially in situations where you need this to deal with power, like extreme power use, like on certain days when there's more power use, or when, like, say, if a station needs to be shut down for some reason for a couple of days for maintenance, or maybe it's just a hot few days in the summer, that kind of thing. Having transmission lines that are basically cost effective only when they're always being used, might not make sense. But actually having batteries and the train move the batteries actually makes more sense. And they're going to test it out here in Colorado at some point, probably
Interesting.
next year, I think.
The
It's an
question
interesting thing.
that comes immediately to mind for me,
Yeah.
being the electrical engineer
Yes.
that I am, is there is transmission loss
Yes.
when you send power across these high voltage lines, especially, and it's proportional to distance. I'm wondering how that compares with any inherent loss
Yeah.
to the battery storage technique.
Yeah, that's one factor. I mean, they seem convinced that this is far more efficient
Yeah,
than
cool.
any other way. And it's interesting also because you may think, well, how's the train going to operate? And initially, the train's just going to be a normal diesel train. But it turns out that the amount of diesel power needed to transport these batteries along rail lines isn't that big a deal. Like, you're still saving a lot.
Interesting.
But if the tests are successful and this becomes something that's adapted in many places, then eventually the idea would be to actually use electric train engines.
Of course.
So you've got at the initial station, you've got power from the solar panels. You can charge up the electric trains and power source, and then the same solar that is being put in the batteries can be put into the train itself, and then making it not only efficient but carbon free.
Well, that and the train's pulling a bunch of batteries.
Yeah,
It could power
yeah,
off one of the batteries. I mean,
yeah.
it's just
Take one of the batteries,
those are the only solutions there.
Yeah. So anyway, it's really a fascinating thing to just keep our eye on. So I'll have a link to that article. I'd love to see just innovative uses. And
Sure.
sometimes it doesn't seem logical at first to put batteries on a train and move them into position, but it does. And also a cool thing about it that it uses is the fact that so many power stations have train lines going to them because of the coal.
Oh,
So the
interesting.
idea is that they don't have to build train lines for this.
Right.
They can already take the train to the power station. There's already equipment there to hook these batteries up to the grid. So a lot of the infrastructure that you think you would need for this to build is just already there as a matter of like how these power stations have been operating all along.
On a slightly related note, one of
Yeah.
the, I think I mentioned a while back, one of the YouTube channels that I like to zone out to from time to time is one called Cab View Holland. It's basically a train engineer who takes, I don't know if it's a GoPro or some other camera, sticks it, in the cab pointing forward, and then just records the various trips around the country. It's actually, like I said, both beautiful and somehow very therapeutic.
I could definitely
But
see that, yeah.
it just highlights the fact that, well, yes, all of their trains are electric, and the way they did that was by stringing a single wire across the top of the train track. That's where it gets its power from. And that seems like, I mean, absolutely, the distances are dramatically different here. I get that. But it does seem like one of the, I don't want to call it least expensive ways, but it does seem like something that could be an effective approach to electrifying even the trains that you're talking about. All they really need to do, as I understand it, is, have that one wire powered across the entire line.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's, trolleys, right? That's what a
Yes.
trolley is in a city. And the weird thing is I live in one of these cities. I don't know if Seattle's like this, but Denver certainly was one of those cities that 100 years ago, I don't know, maybe 100 years ago, had an intricate trolley public transportation system
Yeah,
that was
Seattle did too.
electric.
Yep.
And people are amazed when they see pictures of this or maps of how extensive this was. And it was like, none of it's here. We actually got to a point, I think it was dismantled in the 50s. And then we spent decades with no electric public transportation. And
Right.
then in the 90s, started going to some light rail lines, and the light rail lines have expanded, and that's electric. But it's interesting, that there was this gap. And even
Right.
today, most of the stuff that these trolleys did has now been replaced by buses that run on gasoline and not electric. So, it's the small local stuff that used to be handled by trolleys. And of course, there's a lot of people today says, why don't we bring this back? Why don't we have trolley lines back. We could think just in terms of the emissions, not having these
Given
buses.
the, so Seattle has light rail. They've been working on it for, well, they've been working on it for decades. They've been physically implementing it for something less than that. And the answer is very simple. The costs have skyrocketed. There's, it's so expensive to put in, to put a new rail line somewhere. It's funny. The like you said, Seattle too had extensive trolley lines throughout the city. It was actually, there's the old pictures, and there's one preserved at one of our historical societies and so forth. There is even a place in Seattle that is a steep hill that is referred to as the Counterbalance, because under the street there is a large, heavy thing that was the counterbalance that would help the trolleys go up that hill. So they would clamp onto a cable, and the counterbalance would go down, they'd go up, and the reverse would happen the other way. Yeah, it's really sad. What I understand now, this may be me falling into conspiracy theory territory,
Oh, yeah, I know
but
what you're going to say.
my understanding was it was the tire companies that basically lobbied very hard to replace all of these trolleys with buses that would need tires.
I've heard the tire companies, I've heard the automobile companies, and I've heard the oil companies, of course, or some combination thereof, to basically get those all gone so that everybody would have to buy cars and then use tires, gasoline, and all of that. So I don't know. It's probably, the truth is probably somewhere like those companies probably definitely encouraged it, and there was probably a lot of other things going on. It's a kind of a shame. And in Denver at least, it's funny because things keep changing, because now we have a pretty extensive e-bike and e-scooter system, where there are competing companies with tons of scooters and e-bikes everywhere. Those are all, of course, electric, and a half electric, half man powered. Well, the bikes are half man powered. I guess the scooters are all electric. But it's interesting to see those develop, and as like yet the next iteration of like getting how to get around in a city. Plus all the bike lanes too. We've been approving bike lanes as
I'm
most
just going to
cities.
say that, I mean, obviously talking about the Netherlands, that's the one thing that everybody thinks of right away. And it's very, very true. The Netherlands is designed for bicycles now, and it's a major, major component of certainly in-city travel, and in some cases, even intra-city travels. So, I mentioned this one thing I like to zone out to on YouTube, which leads me wonderfully to the Ain't It Cool that I basically came up with
Oh,
this
cool.
week. It's a YouTube channel called Calmed by Nature. It basically features, gosh, 8 and 12 hour videos with a pleasant screen, a pleasant a view on the screen, playing what essentially boils down to lo-fi jazz, or as what I was listening to earlier today, lo-fi Christmas music in jazz style. And it's you've probably heard of lo-fi. That seems to be something
Oh,
that has
definitely.
picked up dramatically in the past couple of years. And in fact, there's a YouTube channel I also pay attention to from time to time called Lo-Fi Girl, who I think has probably been around the longest. But these channels, it's just pleasant music with, a pleasant thing on your screen. It's been wonderful to have it running, for example, while I'm working. It's just, some nice background music. It's not, grabbing my attention, but it's also very calming and it's not quiet. So anyway, the YouTube channel, obviously there's a link in the show notes, but it's Calmed by Nature. And there are other channels like this as well.
Cool. I have been enjoying my wife and I have been enjoying nothing. It's not new, but it's a show, long running show in Britain, and it's on BritBox here in the U.S. called Death in Paradise, and it's a detective show. Very, in some ways, a very typical detective show. Where it's a detective working for the police, has murders to solve every week. And then these always end up in a the last 10 minutes are always gather all the suspects And then he reveals what actually happened based on all the clues that he's discovered through the show. And actually, this show has at least, I believe, three different main detectives, because the first two seasons was one actor playing the main detective. And I guess the show was successful enough that even though he left the show, they decided to continue it. So somebody else comes in. It takes place on a fictional island in the Caribbean that is somehow still controlled by Britain. So for this position of chief inspector or whatever is fulfilled by some agency in Britain, sends somebody there to fill that position. So it all takes place on these, beaches and resorts and towns in this fictional Caribbean island. And it's a lot of humor, but it's one of those, it's so satisfying just to have a kind of a no nonsense. There's a murder, there's suspects, there are clues. What, it seems impossible to solve, and then the detective sees one thing and says, "Ah, I've got it. Gather everybody together." And then the whole thing is like shown as like, this is what actually happened, and this is the guilty person. So it's a lot of fun to watch. Plus, of course, if you like British shows like I do, it's just like every other British show. Every episode is a guess the like where else have I seen that actor? Because there's tons of guest actors in every show. So for me, for my wife, it's like what other show is that? What other British movie has that been in? And for me, it's like what episode of Doctor Who was this person on?
It's funny
There's
because
always someone.
so my wife has been has I think she's fully up to date on it. She's been basically she binged it over the course of a few months. And I watched the first couple of episodes and had that exact same reaction. It's like that first detective, I've seen him somewhere. I've seen him in multiple. So this is another case of watch with IMDb in hand.
Oh yeah, IMDb or just ChatGPT and ask them. So yeah, good, fun show if you like to if you like to tech no nonsense detective shows.
And confirm. In terms of self-promotion, I'm going to just link to the article I talked about earlier that was setting off alarm bells for so many, conspiratorial alarm bells for people. Why do services like Google and Microsoft ask for a phone number? It's askleo.com/3648. And yeah, read the article, watch the video, and then read the, go for a ride in the comments. It's crazy.
Yep, and I'll link to the video I mentioned earlier. It's called 10 Creative Uses for Apple Intelligence Image Playground. That came out a few days ago.
Excellent. I need to look at that too, because it's just good ideas on how to use these things.
Yep.
All righty. Well, that wraps us up for today. And given that this is, we are recording this the week before Thanksgiving.
Christmas.
I'm sorry, Christmas. Wow.
You
I
might
got
be
that.
recording the week before Thanksgiving. I'm recording the week before Christmas. But yes, we are
Denver are much further apart than I thought. So yes, given that this is the week before Christmas, we won't be recording next week, and then it'll be New Year's. We won't be recording next week, so we will be recording again in the new year. So with all that, on behalf of both of us, we wish you very happy holidays and a very, very happy new year.
Indeed.
And we'll see you again here next year. Take care, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye.
The show notes for this week are at tehpodcast.com/teh237. If you have a comment or question for us, be sure to leave it on the show notes page. The TEH podcast is hosted by Leo Notenboom of AskLeo.com and Gary Rosenzweig of MacMost.com and edited by Connie Delaney. I'm your synthetic announcer, Adam, from 11labs.com. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you here real soon.